All right, everybody, welcome back. I'm Nikki, your host.
And I'm Gigi, your co-host.
And this is
the Team Meyer podcast.
Today, we have the most consistent, I would say, and entrusted pieces to the Urban Meyer picture. Somebody we've known for, let's see, over 10 years, right? 10, 11, 12 years.
Yeah, you guys were kids.
Since we were kids. We have Ryan Stamper today.
And Stamp.
What's up?
Welcome to the Team Meyer podcast, Stamp.
Yeah, glad you guys have me. Obviously got the text and, you know, couldn't be more excited. So thank you.
Well, this is a huge deal. And so we're really excited. But Stamp, we want to start at the beginning, like the beginning at Florida.
Okay.
But even pre-Florida, 2005, when Dad was recruiting you.
Right. Yeah, so I was committed to Auburn. And I was going to Auburn. You know, that was the year, you know, 04, that was the year Auburn went undefeated. They, you know, Auburn, USC, and I believe Oklahoma went undefeated. Auburn didn't get a chance to play in a national championship. So I was just real high on their bandwagon. You know, they had Ronnie Brown, Cadillac Williams. And then I get a phone call. I believe it was Greg Madison, you know, called me and said Florida was interested. You know, I didn't have any Florida offers other than like UCF and South Florida. I didn't have Florida, Florida State, or Miami. So obviously, you know, me being from Jacksonville, I was like, you know, heck yeah, you know what I mean? So I took a visit. And when I took a visit, that's when I met Coach Meyer, man. And, you know, actually first Coach Meyer and Coach Strong came to my house on a home visit before the visit. And him and my mom just hit it off, you know. And, you know, I knew he was a winner. You know, at the time he was a, you know, young, energetic coach. You know, he's a lot older now, but he was a young guy. You could tell he had energy. You could tell that, you know, he had passion, you know, to win. So it was just something about that energy that I love. Took a visit there. The visit was unbelievable. And, you know, I just felt, you know, just something about him, something about, you know, those coaches, you know, Charlie Strong, I just felt, you know, we was going to win. And then obviously Gainesville, Florida, University of Florida being right there in my backyard. I had three of my former teammates from First Coast High School in Jacksonville playing at Florida. So, you know, as much as I liked Auburn, but I felt like, you know, when you're a Florida kid, what do you want to play? You know, you want to play at Florida. You want to be a Gator.
Right.
And my mom was a Gator. You know, I grew up liking Florida. So I was like, you know, why not take a chance? You know, they had a lot of linebackers coming in my class. They had, you know, a few guys in the class before me. And a lot of, you know, kids, you know, scared to compete. But I wasn't worried about that. You know, I didn't even play early. My main thing was just the totality of that situation going there. Obviously, you're going to play good football. You're going to win. I'm playing for a team that I was a fan of, and I'm playing for the state that I grew up in, and I'm an hour away so my mom and family can come see me play. So, you know, that's what made me, you know, decide to go to Florida. And, you know, from there, didn't play early. Didn't even really play my second year. You know what I mean? I was one of those guys. I worked hard, but, you know, just talent-wise, there was a lot of guys that was way freakier than me and way genetically gifted than me, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Once I knew I had, you know, I worked hard. I knew I was a smart player. So then eventually, you know, I think I got my confidence, you know, in the weight room. So, you know, it didn't really click on the field, but, you know, Coach Mick, I remember him just, you know, just always calling me out for busting my butt in the weight room. So confidence came in the weight room, and then I took it from the weight room to the football field. And, you know, like my third year, that's when I started playing a lot. Fourth year was a captain. Fifth year was a captain. You know, two championships later, during that time, me and Coach Meyer got really close because, you know, we had a lot of great players on those teams. You know, and some guys, you know, had a few off the field things. And I was kind of that leader player type coach that, you know, we just got real close during those years, me and Coach. And close to the point where, you know, I was doing police work in Titusville, Florida. And, you know, when Coach Meyer took the job at Ohio State, you know, he called me. And a lot of people asked, you know, well, you know, Stamp, like, you know, because at my job at Ohio State, a lot of people wanted to do that job. Like, you know, Stamp, I want to do, you know, what you do. Like, what's the ingredients? Like, how did you get there? What did you major in? What did you do? What was your career path? And I tell them all the time, like, you know, I got there just solely based on how I conducted myself as a student athlete. You know what I mean? Like,
wow.
It was, you know, my major was criminology and sociology. It's not like I was a sport industry major. I had no background, no experience, nothing in college athletic administration other than playing. But it was just something, you know, Coach Meyer, y'all's dad, saw in me and just gave me a shot, called me up and was like, hey, you know, I want you to, you know, come down. And, you know, I was working at, you know, a police officer. I had to tell my job. And obviously they was pissed, extremely grateful for them for giving me the opportunity. But going to work at Ohio State was something that I couldn't pass up. So obviously getting there, I, you know, had no idea what I was doing. But, you know, like I said, he saw something in me. And, you know, so I really just didn't want to let him down. So every day just, you know, just tried to be the best at whatever it is I was doing. And then eventually I feel like I became one of the best in college football at, you know, at what I did. So I know I did a lot of talking. I don't know if you guys got questions or stuff.
That was awesome. So Stamp, what is your job title and what is your favorite part about your job?
So my job with the Jaguars right now, I'm the director of player assessment. So that job, you know, you got, you know, one side of it is similar to what I did at Ohio State, you know, just in the player development, kind of, you know, myself and a guy named Marcus Pollard being that liaison with the players, you know, me being from Jax, you know, I feel like that really suits me, you know, just making connections, whatever the guys need, you know, programming, you know, building relationships. You know, obviously these guys come to the NFL making a lot of money, but, you know, some guys still need guidance and, you know, that's what we're here for. And then another aspect of my job is just the assessment piece, which is assessing it. So it's in the scouting part of it. So like now I'm watching film on every player, you know, watching their film, you know, making phone calls to all the schools, just trying to find as much as I can about the guy. Because one thing that we can't do in the 21 NFL draft is, you know, we can't miss. We got 5 picks out of the top 65. We can't miss on any of those picks. And as you guys know, you know, in the NFL, a lot of guys, you know, you press play on them and their talent is through the roof, but some of them get to the league and they don't succeed. Like, why? And it's a lot of reasons why. Mm. So my job is to find out what those reasons are. And, you know, if it is a guy that has a few issues and we take them, at least we know what the issues are. We can help them. But, you know, our ultimate goal is to bring in guys with the right mindset. And how we grade the mindset is, you know, are they elite competitor? Are they tough? Their leadership, their intelligence, and their adaptability. So I grade all 5 of those categories. And if the guy checks out in all 5 of those categories, then we feel like they're a Jaguar. And, you know, they're at least, you know, draft eligible in our book. And those are the guys that we want in the organization. So that's a lot of what I do.
Awesome. Wow, that's interesting. So you're basically the person evaluating, not necessarily on the talent side, but on like the human side, which is equally as important, almost more variable than like the skill side of the person. So that's really interesting that they have you fully dedicated to that. And I can understand why that's so important. So you're doing all of that due diligence on them. And I like that you said that everybody there are people that may have issues. I love that, you know, in my dad's not that way, you're not that way, that you don't write them off, that you just say, okay, we just need a game plan here and be aware and be familiar and be prepared and proactive. And I just think that's a really cool strategy. I hope that's consistent across the NFL. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. You know, cause just like you said, you know, it's a lot of talented guys. You know, I heard a stat today from our general manager, you know, Trent Baalke, that I think he said, you know, 50% or some percent of the, you know, first rounders in the NFL bust. You know what I mean? Like, why? You know, so if this being one of the most important drafts in Jacksonville Jaguar history, you know, we got to make sure, you know, at least those, you know, top round guys that we pick are not bust. So, and it's not just me, you know, we got our scouts, our area scouts, everybody do a good job, but you know, me working in college for the last 9 years, I know so many people at every school, and it's really helped me. So, you know, now me just, you know, doing my job at Ohio State for as long as I did, it's easy to just pick up the phone and get like factual information on a player.
Yes, and, you know, like you're connected. You have those connections that you can tap into. Got it. Wait, can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Okay, Stamp, did you think that you were going to be stuck with us for the rest of your life, starting in 2005 when our dad started recruiting you?
And how much does that scare you?
It doesn't scare me at all. You know what I mean? You guys are good. I mean, I you guys have become like family. Even, you know, your husband, Corey, and, you know, your kids and Gigi and her husband, and, you know, everybody's family now. So, you know, it's not an issue. You know, I can't say this isn't something that I thought would happen. You know, never in a million years coming from Florida that I thought I would be working at Ohio State. And then never in a million years I thought I would be coming back working for the home team that I grew up a fan of.
Wow.
You told me that was happening, I would have been like, no way. I gave you everything in my bank account telling you that it's no possible. So the fact that that happened is just like, wow. You know what I mean?
That's so cool. That's literally full circle for Stamp. Yeah. Like, Stamp has come full circle.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Oh, that's my gosh. Awesome. So I do have some questions specific to Ohio State. Because, okay. Stamp, I think you invented a role. Like, you invented a career, and you invented a puzzle piece that now is probably in place at most schools that care about their athletes. You know what I'm saying? About their football players. So tell us about, one, talk a little bit more about that liaison piece to the athletes. When do you get involved? When do you meet them? Is this in recruiting? Is this when they get to campus? And then also tell us about Real Life Wednesdays. Tell us those two things.
Yeah. So, you know, at Ohio State, I would, you know, the player development role was there. I would say, you know, just my skill set tapped into a lot more. Like, it, you know, originally that role was just, you know, mentor to the players. Well, me coming in as having a police background, you know, I feel like that role for me, I handled a lot of the issues. And then, you know, before we came to Ohio State, it wasn't really like a life after football with internships and all of that stuff. You know what I mean? So we kind of brought that there. So a combination of, you know, handling issues, being a mentor, helping guys get, you know, jobs, internships, creating programming, and then all the other stuff I did, it just kind of, like, I just became the all hands on deck guy. Like, I was like the jack of all trades, did a lot of stuff, you know what I mean? So so that's, you know, that's kind of how that role went. And I just take pride in just adding value. You know what I mean? That's kind of one thing I say. You know, I'll be walking down the hall. They were like, Stan, what you doing? I'm like, hey, I'm just trying to add value. That's kind of what's meant, because that's really what I was trying to do. So it was nothing that was beneath me, it was nothing too big that I couldn't be involved in, nothing too small I wouldn't do. You know, I'll be in meetings with Coach Meyer, Gene Smith, and the president of the university 1 minute, and then the next minute, I'm getting the van, picking up the freshmen, you know what I mean? And taking them around the class and stuff. So I just really took pride in that. I would meet the guys through recruiting. I would talk to every last one of them about Real Life Wednesday. In recruiting, I didn't really get to know the guys as well. You know what I mean? Because one thing I wanted to do is, you know, a lot of recruiting is, you know, sucking up players, trying to get them to come to your school. I talked to them about what I did, and I talked to them about the program that I was in charge of. But I know that as soon as they stepped foot on campus, I was the first person they saw. Like, I was the one, talk to them about the culture, help them get their locker set up. Like, you know, had the first meeting with them, taking them around the class, make sure they got the class schedule. So I just wanted them to really respect me when they came in. So I didn't really want to do too much. It was certain players, like certain guys from Jacksonville, I was really, really deep involved in, and we got those guys. But, you know, everybody, I can't say I was, because I knew that as soon as they came in, like, you guys had to respect me, because I was, you know, between myself, Mick Marotti, we were, you know, guys, you know, Brian Bottolini, we were guys that they would see, we're going to see more than probably anybody in the building. You know what I mean? Didn't want that, you know, mind that them looking at me and recruiting and being like, oh, you know, he's, you know, he's not, you know, I wanted him to take me serious once they step on campus. So.
That, and I think it's important to note, like when you say handling issues, we're dealing with 18 to 22 year old kids. It's unfair to assume that there won't be issues. And it's also unfair to assume if there is an issue that it's over for that person. So Stamp, talk to us about the importance of if there is an issue, like why deal with it? Why keep them there versus throw them out and let them go onto the streets as a 19-year-old with who once had a promising future that was just ended because of a silly mistake because they're a kid. So tell us about that and why you believe in that.
Yeah, so I mean, you just you know, assess every issue. You know what I mean? You got some issues that are, you know, I mean, we had our core values. You got your core value issues. I mean, you got your mistakes, you know what I mean? And everybody makes mistakes. I'm 34 years old, still making mistakes, you know what I mean? So, you know, you can't really, you know, kick a kid off because of a mistake because, you know, some of these guys come from nothing, you know what I mean? So it's really, you know, just assessing like what the issue is. There's certain things that, you know, that got to do with, you know, women and, you know, just certain stuff like that. That's just like, you know, your non-negotiables, you know what I'm saying? But other things, it just depend on the kid, depend on the person, you know what I mean? You kind of assess every situation different. So, you know, so that was just one thing we did. And, you know, we obviously, you know, we educators, you know what I mean? And we just, you know, in a world where, you know, you got to educate these young men and, you know, you got guys that, you know, I made mistakes, you know what I mean? And if I'd have got thrown off the team, or I can name plenty of players that if we would have thrown them off the team their first mistake, you know, they won't be the man that they are now. And you know me, I know every issue that happened at Ohio State. And I'm looking at certain guys that had major issues that's in the league right now, you know, outstanding citizens. Like, what if we would have just thrown them off immediately, you know, after that? So obviously when guys make mistakes, you know, you gotta, you know, handle it. You gotta, you know, discipline, you gotta punish. And it all those non-negotiables that are, all right, like he gotta go. But that's just not for every situation. You know what I mean? So it just depends on what the situation is.
Yes, of course. Of course, there every situation is different, but I always love that there was an understanding that these are kids. And I think a lot of people that watch games on Saturdays, that's the only element of these players that they see. But there's six other days of the week that they're human. And it's unfair. Don't you think that like college is where people like go mess up in life and then get it together and then move on? Like, okay, these players are also in college. Reminder, these are college athletes.
And one thing that, you know, that's an assumption of people is that, you know, once you turn 18, 19, that you're, you know, you're a grown man. You know, even when you turn 22, 21, that you're a grown man. And that's not the case. You know, some of these guys still need, you know, some, you know, mentorship. These guys still need their parents. You know, sometimes, you know, I would have, you know, made phone calls to parents and it was kind of like, you know, well, you know, he's your issue now. Like, I remember when I was in college, you know, I was going through it, you know, early. And if it wasn't for like those phone calls to mom, those phone calls to dad to help me through it, like I wouldn't have made it out. Yes. You know what I'm saying? So you know, they're 18, they're adults, but they still need mama. They still need dad. They still need to develop, to learn, to, you know, mentors. They, you know, they need all of that stuff. And the guys who, you know, parents wasn't as hands-on or, you know, grew up without a dad or grew up by grandma who kind of was, you know, hard dealing with, they need somebody. That's why, you know, somebody like me or they position coach step in. So everyone needs someone. The whole notion of, oh, he's grown, he's an adult, you know, but treat them like a man. I mean, obviously, yeah, they are men, they are adults, but, you know, like I said, the toughest times of my college career, you know, I used to call my mom crying at times, and, you know, her talking me off the ledge, keeping me from quitting, you know what I mean? Those are times that you stay for, because if it wasn't for that, you know what I mean, I probably wouldn't have finished there, and, you know, and everyone goes through those times.
Stamp, absolutely.
Stamp, go ahead, G. A lot of people overlook just the fact that football, like some people say football is just a game, right? But they overlook a lot of what happens behind the scenes, behind the game. And it sounds like, you know, your position, and your position is just a very emotionally invested type position. So I feel like you would have the perfect just perspective from that side of things.
And then even with the social media, like these parents are just as involved and invested as kids. You know, I remember, you know, when I redshirted, and I know it's 100 times worse now. Like, just think about this. Like, I redshirted, and when you redshirt, you don't travel with the team. So when you don't travel with the team, you know, I went back home to Jacksonville. But when I went home to Jacksonville, I stayed in the house. And the reason why I stayed in the house, because I didn't want people to see that I didn't travel with the team, because it messed me up like that much. You know what I mean? And then I remember getting phone calls from my dad asking me, well, hey, you know, so-and-so, you know, called me asking, you know, why you not playing? So now he asked me why. And it's not really that he cared. It's because other people is pressuring him. But that's just what I signed up for when I decided to be from Florida and go to Florida. You know what I mean? But then as soon as the tables turned and I started playing, my mom walking her job at CSX, she getting high fives.
Yes.
You know, her boss want to talk to her about, you know, the Gators and everything. So, you know, so that just shows you how much pressure that the kids go through. They not just dealing with it emotionally, not playing and stuff, but, you know, you got the parents. The parents are invested. Friends are invested. Yeah. So it can just really, like, you know, just mess you up emotionally. So that's why, like I said, you know, you need your parents to be that support system, not constantly asking, oh, why aren't you playing and this and that. You know what I mean? So, and then, you know, with social media, you know, you post a post or you do this stuff and people all in your comments, and just mentally, you know, really, that's why I'm glad I didn't grow up in this age, because, you know, I can only imagine just, you know, just the stuff that guys get from fans and from people once they, you know, don't play well on the game, or, you know, they do this, they do that. We didn't have that when I was coming up. So that just messes you up even more. You know what I mean? So
wow, it's
just crazy.
That's great insight. I totally agree. I have a funny question, Stamp. So when my dad retired from Ohio State, how many times a day or a week did he still continue to call you?
Oh, he called early. It wasn't as much. But then, like, you know, as soon as he, you know, kind of got his feet planted with Fox and everything, like, I mean, it was, you know, sometimes twice a week, then it got to once a week, and then he'll lax off, and then it'll be once a week. But a lot of times, you know, he'll just call and check in, you know what I mean? Just check in, see how I was doing, check in, see how Corey was doing, you know what I mean? So he just, you know, just called and checked in, and I just think that's why, you know, once he made the move to Jacksonville, you know, obviously when it was announced, you know, everybody knew, but, you know, just because we was in, you know, constant communication, you know, I knew for a while that's something he was thinking about doing, you know what I mean? So you know how he is. His mind always constantly got to call somebody, talk to somebody, and just, all right, I'll talk to you later. And then it just hang up, you know?
Right out. I know. He talked about
you can tell.
Is, you know, he'll ask you a question. If you, you know, if you're not sharp and direct and to the point, you start babbling and, you know, become long-winded, he cut you off. All right, I gotta go.
That is so funny. You can tell when he's like on a walk, like outside, because then he's like, he's a little chatty.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, amped, and he's really long-winded, but then like you start talking and he's like, all right, yep, bye. Like he like had to get it off his chest, and now he's over you. That's so funny.
Yes.
Yeah, I love it though, you know, because that's him, you know what I mean? I never really met someone that asked you a question and then you start talking, and it's just like, you know, when you start talking too long, it's like, okay, I asked you this. I didn't ask a whole paragraph of
That happens to me every time he calls. So, Gigi, I think Gigi has some really good questions here. Why don't you go ahead and ask him some of those, Gigi?
Oh, man. I wanted to ask you what your favorite story is of Dad. As a coach, maybe as an employee of his. I don't know. Anything pop into your head?
He's just really, really funny. You know, like how funny he is, you know, like, you know, we would be in staff meetings and team meetings, and he'll just get like, just like so angry and say like the funniest stuff. And then the players and the coaches would be like, dang, like Coach Maya tripping today, man. Like he going off. And then he'll look at me and like he'll wink. Or he'll look at me and, you know, like kind of smirk a little bit. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, him being a psych major, you know, he's really good at, you know, just getting people to buy in and really good at, you know what I mean? Like really, you know, getting people, you know, when you talk to coach and when he talks to the team, like you're ready to run through a wall for him. You know what I mean? And he's just really good at that. So, you know, once I realized that, okay, like this is like him testing the team, or this is like just seeing how staff gonna react, or, you know, the players gonna react. You know, that's why when we get in staff meetings, sometimes like he'll be going off. I'm like in the back laughing. And then he'll see me after the staff meeting like, hey, Stan, what you was laughing at? You know what I mean? Cause we just had that, you know, that connection. And he was just like probably one of the most funniest guys. Like he's really like dramatic when it comes to, you know, telling stories, and he just get like real dramatic stuff. So I can't really name a story like off the top of my head, but I do know he's probably one of the funniest guys I know.
Good. I think he's funny too. We think he's hilarious. So anyone in his circle would describe him in that. One of his first like characteristics, I think, is he's funny. That's like one of the first ways people describe him.
Yeah. Sometimes he try to be, sometimes even when he's not trying.
Yeah. But. So funny.
So on the flip side then, when was like the most scared you've been around him?
Scared?
Scary he's been. Because we've heard stories of him being goofy, funny, but also...
They gotta go back to the Florida days, man. Like at Ohio State, like once you get to know him, but like as a freshman and redshirt freshman, like I was scared of him. You know what I mean? Just like it was a time we was in camp at Florida, and I was on kickoff return, and I missed my block on kickoff return, and I think the guy carrying the ball at the time was running back to Sean Wynn. He got hit by one of our walk-on players, and it hurt him a little bit. It wasn't a bad injury, but he was hurt. And I just remember thinking, like, damn, like, I missed that block. We about to watch it on the film the next day. So I remember trying to go into the special team meeting and look for it on the computer to, like, delete the film. Because like that's how like terrified I was of going to special teams the next day. Cause I'm like, man, like I'm gonna get it. Like those special team meetings during the Florida days was brutal. But that's why we were so good. You know what I mean? Like everybody was held accountable. But you know, if you didn't do your job, you got called out. You know what I mean? And it wasn't pretty. So I remember just being a young guy, you know, not wanting to get called out and looking and trying to delete the film.
Did he
literally obstructing justice? Stamp, you are a cop. You know that is not allowed.
But I couldn't find out how to do it. I went in the special teams team meeting room, and it was just a computer. I'm like, all right, I guess they downloaded here, and I couldn't find it. You know what I mean? I wasn't like computer savvy, and we ended up not even watching it. I think we had so much film. I was like a 3 at the time, third string, second string or something. So we ended up not even watching it. But I just remember being so terrified. Like, oh, man, like my day was over.
Because you knew what was coming.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, man, it's about to get bad.
Okay. So
that's good. That's a funny one.
Yes, that's awesome. Biggest lesson that you've learned from dad?
Oh, man, I've learned a lot of lessons, man. You know, just when it comes to just like just working and grinding, you know what I'm saying? And I wouldn't really say that's a lesson, but, you know, a lot of people, and I talk to a lot of former players, you know, the stuff you get from Coach Maya and his, you know, whether it's leadership or his team meetings or whatever, you know, you don't get that nowhere else, you know what I mean? Like, and, you know, one thing, you know, Coach always say, like, the world, like, you know, the world is full of stuff, you know what I mean? It's a lot of stuff going on, you know what I mean? And you know, but when you're on the team, you're on the football team, you're around your brothers, you know what I mean? Like that's kind of when you get the real, you know what I mean? And you know, one lesson that I learned from him is just to be direct, like just that, you know, one thing about Coach, like, you know, he don't sugarcoat nothing. Like if you a bad player, he gonna call you a bad player. If you, you know, not doing your job or you're not you know, whether it's on the football field or at work, like he's gonna call you out on it. You know what I mean? And just growing up, like, you know, I never really like got that. You know what I'm saying? Like people are really like, you know, don't want to really tell you exactly how it is. Like they'll, tell you the soft version and then go talk behind your back and tell the other person the real version. You know what I mean? Coach Maya tell you directly to your face what it is. And that was one thing that I would say that I learned from him and appreciated from him. And one thing that I could say I took from him. Like, I don't really sugarcoat anything with anybody. Like, you know where I stand with you. And, you know, and I kind of got that from him. Because, you know, I just think that's the best way to live your life. You know what I mean? Like, don't sugarcoat nothing with people. Tell them how you feel. Tell them what it is. Either they gonna like it, they respect it, and if they don't like it, they're gonna at least respect you for just being honest. You know what I mean? Sometimes you kind of massage your way into the situation and not give the real. And you know, sometimes that just confuses people. So one lesson I learned from him is just be transparent, be direct, and just say it how it is. You know what I mean?
I think something
that's love.
Yeah, tough love. I was going to say love and honesty, I feel like, are two of like the core principles that he's established in his culture. And you saying, talking about brotherhood, like that just goes along the lines of love and honesty, just being one of those things that has to be within that culture. That's awesome. Okay, cool. So I had one more question and I think it's just so cool. I just want to circle back to the fact that like you're back in Jacksonville in your hometown, working for the team, the NFL team that you're rooting for your entire life. I think that's so cool. So one, Nikki and I, we don't know if we know exactly how it's done, but you're going to have to show us the whole Duval thing. Show us how it's done.
Oh, right. Man, Duval County, man. It's Duval.
Perfect.
That's how you say.
That's what I thought it was.
That's like the battle cry.
Yes.
That's like battle cry. If you in Orlando, you in Miami, and you hear somebody say Duval, and you from Jacksonville, you turning around, you running over there, you making sure he okay, he or she is okay. What's going on? Shaking hands with a beat person. I mean, it is literally the Jacksonville battle cry. And we're the only city that is known for the county. You know what I mean? Like everybody know Duval just because it's such a big city. We're the biggest city in the country land-wise. And everybody takes so much pride in being from Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And we're the only city that like, well, one of the few cities where like, you know, it's a big city and the county is the whole city. You know, like we don't have a Jacksonville the police department. It's JSA. So it's Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, and it's throughout the entire city. You know, so it's a huge city. It's a city that people take pride in. It's a tough city. You know, coming from this city, like you know, you ain't soft. You know what I mean? You rugged and you tough, and we take pride in that. So
that's awesome.
That's so cool. So it's like the OH, like for Jacksonville. Like if I'm a Buckeye, I'm like OH. Like so that's like the Duval. Like
Duval.
But even
did I do it right? Like,
if Jacksonville, that's perfect. But if Jacksonville didn't have the Jaguars, like the Duval saying was still like, that's just the city, you know what I mean? And the city put it on the team, you know what I mean? So now it made it that much bigger that, you know, the NFL players and the players that's playing for the Jags know Duval, but that's a Jacksonville thing. And it's been like that since I've been born. You know, my dad was screaming Duval back in the 80s.
Wow. That's so cool. Yeah. So you're telling me so that means that this place, Jacksonville right now, has to be juiced. Like they've got to be feeling your juice, like dad's juice, the players, like everybody's got to be pumped up right now.
Oh yeah. Everybody excited, man. I mean, soon as coach got announced that he was getting hired, that was before anyone knew I was coming. But everybody tell, we getting season tickets, you know, oh man, we can't wait. Hey, we got, you know, cause everybody assume, you know, thinking since we got number one pick, like, oh, you guys bringing in Trevor and you bringing in Coach Maya. Like, wow. Like the fans, you know, he's just excited. You know what I mean? And, you know, Jacksonville being, you know, a town that's, you know, it's not very big. It's a small town. It's a big city in regards to land, but it's still like a, you know, kind of small Southern type town. You know, so, you know, we start getting some wins under our belt. Like this NFL team can easily feel like a, college type team in regards to just how rowdy the fans are, how packed the stands are, just because, you know, people are excited and people love their Jaguars. So you got to win.
I'm pumped. Like, I'm so excited.
So pumped. Nikki, can I say something real quick? So the another recurring theme that we've had with this podcast, Nikki and I have said multiple times, you've seen The Longest Yard where he says, "Teach me to football." This is all like entirely new to us, the whole NFL thing. So it's like, we need like, teach me to football. So how different is it? Like, is there anything that we need to know just to prepare us for season? Because we need to football.
I would say, you know, if you're looking at the sidelines, it's going to be easy to spot your dad, because instead of having 120 players on the sideline, it's like 53. You know what I mean? Like,
wow.
Not a lot of players on the sideline. But, you know, in regards to the fans, I think the fans, you know, are similar. I mean, it's not a student section, but, you know, it's still, you know, rowdy fans, fans that's passionate about their team. And you got guys that are pros, you know what I mean? You know, you still got to work with them. And, you know, you got to love them up. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know what I mean? They're getting in their cars after their game, and they're going to their wives, they're going to their kids. And, you know, they're men, you know what I mean? And so just that, you know, even getting to know the guys now, you know, at Ohio State, you know, you're kind of telling guys what to do. And you're telling them, like, hey, you know, academics, you know, you kind of got to, like, hold their hand a lot more. Whereas now, you know, it's obviously a respect, and they know I work for the team. But, you know what I mean, you don't really have to, you know, carry yourself in a way like they're like young kids, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You still got to help them. You still got to guide them. But at the end of the day, like, they're men. And, you know what I mean? You can talk to them and treat them as such.
Right. Yeah, that's a huge difference. Huge. So, okay, this is good. Stamp, I have a question for you. Can you be like our person? Can we like check in with you like every few months and you come on here with us and you can every just be months. Our like, you'll be our intel.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Okay.
Yeah, just let me know. I'll come and let you. I mean, right now, obviously, we're getting ready for the draft. I mean, like I said, you know, biggest draft in franchise history. You know, and after the draft, you know, that's when guys, you know, start coming in. You know, we got phase one, phase two, phase three workouts. Then we get a break. Then we start camp. And then after camp, you know, we'll see what we got. So.
Oh my gosh. So it's like happening.
You know. Yes. Be here before you know it. You know how it is. As soon as it get around April, May, June, next thing you know, you're in camp. And then before you know it, you're in mid-season. It just goes so fast. So I'm excited. I'm excited. I know the city is excited as well.
This is awesome, Stan. Thank you so much. Like, this is, you're our first like real guest outside of the fam. By the way, so yeah, we've only done Meyer family, so it's only fitting because you're basically like in the family, but technically you're the first person not like blood related to us that we've interviewed. So this is the right thing. This is you're the right person for this.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to you guys on the podcast, and you know, I'm glad to be a part of it. I know you guys are gonna kill it. But yeah, anything you need from me, let me know. I'm gonna start following it. You know, I've just been busy lately, so on, you know, social media and stuff, but I'm gonna start following you guys and seeing how you guys do and what great speakers you guys have next, or great you know, people you talk to. So
you gotta binge listen to the podcast. Go look before up the draft.
Just play it at the facilities so everyone can listen.
Yeah, post it and everything. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, all you right, guys, so much, Stamp. You're awesome.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate you for having me.
All right, we love you. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Nikki, your host.
And I'm Gigi, your co-host.
Until next time.
Team Meyer out.